All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Wednesday, November 19th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we have a 7-game NBA main slate. We have a 2-game college football main slate. And then over in the NHL streets, we have a 4-game main slate there. We do also have golf teeing off early tomorrow morning. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You'll also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do the show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So you can tune in any one of those days, get your questions answered. All right, we are back after a day break yesterday. We had a show Monday, no show Tuesday. We are back for the rest of the week as normally scheduled here. I do have SaberSim pulled up on the screen, and we will jump into questions. So we do have a lot of questions to get to today, that have questions that have come in over the past 2 days. So we are just going to work our way from the top down and kind of go from there. All right, good question. What stats on the top stat bar are the most important individual stats for choosing the best wide receiver, running back, and quarterback? What is the most powerful stat to choose the best player? Is flagship points the main stat to look at? Thanks. Okay, so let's go back to the NFL main slate from Sunday. All right, so we come into just like a new build on the Sunday main slate. So there's a lot of information, right? There's a lot of details here. It can be overwhelming, right? You might not know what to look at. I think some of the most important columns, in my opinion, are going to be the projection column, the value column, and the ownership column, okay? I think these three are very, very important. Now, the projection is like, hey, we expect this player to score this many points on average. Value is, it is basically projection divided by salary and times 1,000. But the times 1,000 is not super important. It's basically telling you like the point per dollar value. Like, hey, you know, is this guy a good play based on how many points we expect them to score and how much they cost to roster, right? Value, higher value means like, hey, you're getting pretty good bang for your buck by playing this player. Their salary isn't too high, or if their salary is high, their projection is like even higher. So value is a good column. And then ownership. Ownership is how many lineups we expect this player to be in your contests. So 31% my own would mean, hey, we are expecting 31% of lineups to roster Christian McCaffrey. That is what that value would mean. The flagship column is a reflection of the ownership. So usually this flagship MME will be the same as the my own. It's a comparison. Right now it's showing the flagship MME live. So we had McCaffrey projected for 31% ownership. He actually came in at 21% ownership. So his ownership deviated from what we expected. And looks like the field got that one wrong. They probably should have rostered him more because he had a pretty solid day. But that is, those are some of the most important columns that I would be looking at. And then that is what flagship is. Flagship MME is the $20, 150 max, like the main big contest on the slate, that ownership. All right. Good question to get us started. This one was handled in Discord, but I think this is a good question to talk about in general. If I want, say, 20% Genty in my contests of 150 lineups, but have a lot of multi-entry and single-entry contests uploaded on SaberSim, how do I zero in to make sure I get the exposure I want in the multi-entries? Basically, I want to manually control exposures and multi-entries while giving full control of single entries to the simulator. Okay, so this is in regards to the Monday Night Football slate. So we will go over there. All right. Does this use live data? Nope. All right, cool. So I'm going to go to a new build. And I'm going to run a set of lineups, right? And I'm just going to say run 1,500 for the sake of time here. Two adjustments, projections. Great. Send it. All right. So we're going to let this run. We're going to create a couple groups, and we're going to talk about this. And we're just waiting for these lineups to finish. They're about done. All right, so let's say that I'm playing a couple different contests, and we'll do three. So my first contest is a 150 max. My second contest is a 20 max. And my third contest is going to be a single entry, okay? And I'm just going to use Unique's one Saber score for all of these. All right, so let's say I want to set some exposures, right? And I want to send them to my multi-entries, but not my single entry. So SaberSim does something that is a little bit new. Maybe not everybody knows this. We only send exposures of 0 or 100 to your single entry groups. So for instance, and I'm going to expand these. Now this lineup has Brock Bowers in the captain, okay? So if I'm looking at this, you know, I'm looking at my exposures, like, oh, wow, you know, I have a lot of Bowers. You know, 41% is too much for me, right? Well, let's say I want to bring this down so my leverage is lower, right? Maybe I set a 30 max exposure. Okay, I click apply. The builder sends this 30 to the 150, sends the 30 max exposure to the 20, does not send it to the single entry. Single entry still has that same lineup. The only way we send exposures to single entry is if it is 0 or 100, right? Because if you look at a single entry, your exposure can only be 0 or 100. So that's why we're only sending exposures set of that value to the single entries, okay? So anything in between only gets sent to multi-entry groups. All right. Now, if you want to see your exposure for any one particular group, you can do that by clicking on it and you'll get this green highlight, right? And then it's going to say, hey, in this group, you actually have, you know, these exposures, right? And then I can switch and then I can go to the next group. I'm like, hey, you know, that you have these exposures, right? You can also see the number of lineups change, right? Now it says 30% is 6 of 20. That makes sense. 30% is 45 of 150. So I can see that it's updating. And then if I want to click out of it, I just re-click on the name of the group. Goes back to the full snapshot, right? Now, keep in mind that if you have like a lot of single entries, right, you might not. And I'm going to turn this on, actually. Your exposures might not match perfectly. So like here, right, I have a 30% max exposure. It's red because my total exposure is 30.4. So basically, the 150 has 30, the 20 has 30. But because I have this one extra lineup in my single entry that has Bowers, The exposure is going over by 0.4% here because that's what that one lineup is causing it to do. So just be aware of that. But if you check your individual groups, okay, that one has 30. Okay, that one has 30. So really, in theory, it's fine. Another indicator would be none of these groups have a yellow highlight, okay? If these have a yellow highlight, and let me see if I can make one do that. If I just zero out like a bunch of the top. I don't know if this is going to work. We're going to try though. Okay, this yellow highlight. We saw it like momentarily, but it went away. Let's see. It sucks. All right. Okay, so there's only 129 DAC lineups in the pool. So I'm going to try and set him to like 90%. This should break it. Because there shouldn't be enough lineups. So now we can see this yellow highlight, right? This yellow highlight will have an exclamation point, and when you hover over the exclamation point, it's going to tell you what's wrong with the group. Here it's saying, hey, you're asking for minimum 90% DAC. The most we can do is like max 86% is what it says here. I think that's like total, right? And then in the other one, it's saying, hey, we can't get any DAC here. And the reason is because I have the avoid duplicates across lineup groups on. So basically, the top group is using all the DAC and then not leaving any for like the second group. So here, right, this would mean that my group exposures can't be met. So the reason that it's good to be aware of that is because even if, and we go back here, right, let's So I'm getting this back to the state where it was before. So here, right? Okay, although my max exposure is highlighted in red and the exposure is slightly over, none of the groups have a yellow exclamation point indicating that the exposures are being correctly met in each group. So you could consider this like irrelevant, not important, and just look for those yellow highlights and exclamation points. Instead. So that's a little breakdown there. All right. Next question. Is there anyone that still uses the old Saber Sim? I know the new one is better, just much more comfortable with the old one, and was wondering if I was losing a ton of VV by not switching. Okay. So obviously we recommend the new one, but there are a lot of players that still use the old one. I know, in fact, that there are a lot of high volume players that still use the old one. So I think sticking with what you are comfortable with is totally okay. I think if you ever have extra time, experiment with the new one. You know, I know change can be hard, but I've talked to people who used to use the old one, and now that they've gotten used to the new one, they've told me, like, now that I've messed around with this enough and know how to use it, I actually really like it. So it's just going to depend, but it is okay to continue to use the old until you're ready to make the switch. All right, next question. Does the menu feature in the new Saber Sim work the same way as the old Saber Sim? If so, would this be one of those instances to put all lineups into one contest group instead of many uniques each? All right, so this is talking about, I think, like the pools and the groups and stuff, right? So we have three default templates. I've talked about this quite a bit, where I think that there is not a wrong or right one, and it's just going to depend on what kind of player you are, right? So say we're playing the $150, the $20, and the $1, and the one single entry, right? So we have 171 entries. The direct fill will give you one group with 171 lineups. This is probably the most similar to old Saber Sim, is just one group, all your lineups, all your contests. The all contests in one group will give you one group, but it will give you the max number of entries for your biggest contest. So I had a 150, a 20, and a single entry. So here it's going to say, okay, let's build 150. You're going to reuse the same lineups from the 150 and your 20 and your single entry. So I will have 21 lineups played twice. Okay. So that's what all contests in one group does. And then one group per contest creates and would create three groups like we had previously, where we had a group for the 150, a group for the 20, and a group for the single entry. I think that if you are making the switch from old to new, I think direct fill is the kind of easiest like template to get used to right away. So I think you could definitely just start with direct fill and then expand to the other ones as you see fit. But it's totally okay to use any one of those three. It's just going to be preference. But I think direct fill is a good kind of bridge template coming from old. All right, next question. How much does ownership change from when the initial Sims are ran until before lock if there are any significant injury news? Yeah, ownership can change massively, like massively, massively. I think a good example would be I saw a bunch of Golden State players are out today. Saw Curry, Kuminga, Butler, Draymond Green, right? It'd be like a huge Golden State value slate. If you would have looked at the beginning of the day, right, I imagine that all these Golden State players with all this ownership probably had 0 to 5% ownership, right? They're probably expected to come off the bench, have low minutes. But you look in here, right, Draymond's out, Kuminga's out, Curry's out, Horford's out, Butler's out, right? And then a couple of min salary guys, but you know, ownership and projections are going to change a lot throughout the day. So if you are somebody building lineups early in the day, I would always make sure to come back at least 30 minutes prior to slate lock. If you could stay on up until slate lock, even better, and do a final rebuild 15 minutes. Within 15 minutes of the slate starting would be my recommendations, because news can just change so dramatically. All right. What are recommendations on adjusting min salary for NFL, NBA across both classic and showdown slates? Okay. So I think that you can think about this in terms of just like classic and showdown. It's not even like sport dependent. In my opinion, there might be some exceptions here, but I think generally on classic slates, you can always increase the minimum salary. And then on showdowns, you can generally lower the minimum salary. The idea there is that projection floor does matter, especially on sports where you do not need an optimal lineup. And basically any classic slate, you're not trying to find the optimal lineup. On a NFL classic slate, you don't need the optimal. NBA, you don't need optimal. MLB, you don't need optimal. NHL, you don't need optimal, right? Trying to find a winning lineup, and usually you want to have a decent projection floor. So min salary and projection are correlated. So increasing the minimum increases your floor. And that goes for classics again. For showdowns, you're trying to find an optimal. You're trying to be, have a lesser number of your lineups duplicated. Well, one way of being less duplicated is leaving salary on the table. So playing lower salary lineups. And then the other thing is that when we're building showdown, right, we're plucking one sim from the game, playing it out. We don't know what the optimal lineup is going to be. But having a high salary floor can actually make you not able to get the optimal lineup. What if you set a minimum of 49,000, but the optimal lineup is 48,200, right? The builder has to give you a slightly altered lineup because you're not accepting that optimal construction, right? So lowering minimum salary could be beneficial in a sport like Showdown twofold, where one, you're actually allowing the true optimals to be built, and then two, you are leaving more salary on the table to be more unique. So I think that Classic's up for Showdowns, down as far as moving the min salary value. All right. After you establish a core and you build those lineups, where can I find the lineups I built with my core? Yeah, so for tonight, right, I got this slate up here. You know, what you can do, there's a couple different ways that I'm aware of to build a core. Now, when people mention this, the most common way I think that they can do this is one of two ways. Number one is if you lock a guy, right? When you lock a player, you get like a lineup card. Well, you can continue to add players to this card, right? Maybe I want to play Jokic, and then I want to pay down for some of these cheaper Golden State guys. Maybe I just pick a couple of like the highest ownership ones. So Spencer, Richard, Post, I'm just going to pick three. Maybe I want to have at least three Golden State players in my lineup. And now this is effectively my core, right? So by using the lock icon, I can build a core. And then from here, I click this build lineups button. So let's see what these lineups look like on the other side. Almost done. All right. So these lineups are finishing up. They're going to load up here in a second. So there's two ways to look at your lineups, right? Number one is you can look at all of your lineups in the pool, okay? And I'm going to switch this to Saber Score. So I can look at my pool. I can open it. And then I can see all of my lineups, right? Hey, I got Spencer, Post, Richard, and then Jokic, right? Those are like the guys that I locked, and I could see them like over and over again, right? Number two ways you can look at them, you can create a group and then either use Portfolio or Uniques with Saber Score. And then you can look at just basically what are just like my top 20 lineups, right? And look at them at like a snapshot. And then when you have a group, it will describe the exposures. So for Golden State, I'm playing a lot of Golden State players as well as the three that I locked. So three plus a couple extra, sometimes up to five. There is this other option when you open up the pool to click add core. Right? This is like the same thing as what I did when locking. The only time you would use this is if you built lineups first and then decided that you want to effectively rebuild your lineups with certain players locked in, right? So locking, using the lock icon generates that lineup card. Or if you built lineups already and then you want to do it, then you could open up the pool and use this add core option. So those are like the two ways I know of as far as like using core goes. All right. Kind of a similar question. What is a core? I saw someone mention it, but not sure where this feature is and how it's used. Yeah. So we talked about how it's used. Just so we're clear, core is a DFS term for effectively locking in a player, playing a player in 100% of your lineups, right? So like here I have Spencer, Post, Richard, Jokic in 100% of my lineups. Those are effectively my core. And I'm telling SaberSim, hey, I want to build around these players, build me lineups with different combinations of players that complement my core, my group of players I know I want to play in 100% of my lineups. items. But those are the two ways to use the core functionality in SaberSim. All right, question. What does my own do if adjusted prior to building or after? Good question. So it doesn't do too much in regards to the lineups that are chosen. So the lineups are chosen, like especially if you're using like Portfolio, right? Or if you're using Sims, by running contest Sims behind the scene. Portfolio is using the SaberScore Sims, and then Portfolio Plus is using all of your actual contests and those payout structures and using those contest Sims. My own, really all it does is it, one, describes your leverages. So leverage is exposure minus ownership. So positive leverage are players you have more of than the field. And then negative leverage are players you have less of than the field. It also matters with regards to like filters, right? If you change some ownerships, but you have a some ownership filter, well, we will take into account your updated values because we're looking at the values in the my own column when setting the cutoffs for the filters. So filters, custom metrics, leverage are the main things affected by any changes to the my own column. All right, next question. If you have a starter version and are late swapping NBAs, looking at your lineups and optimizing for the most projections, because I remember hearing something about the pro version doing it. Okay, the starter version. What the starter version does, and I'm pretty sure this is it. We could check real quick. Pricing. Okay, so the live projections and live sims are on Ultimate, okay? So mostly what you need to be aware of when late swapping on Starter is projection adjustments. So like what I would do is I would keep an eye on the Discord in the NBA lineup alert channel, and I would be looking while the slate is in progress for any sims that run where projections move a lot, right? So like yesterday, all the games were between like 4 and 5 Pacific time. So here's like the first sim after 4. Okay, not a lot of changes. Like 1 point to Clowney, I probably wouldn't have swapped for it. This is a bigger one, right? Thompson down like 5 points, Jenkins up 4. Looks like Jenkins started over Thompson. It's like I for sure would have swapped here, right? You want to swap there, right? That's a very valuable swap, is to get Thompson out and get probably more of Jenkins. So this is what you want to be aware of on the starter plan when it comes to late swapping. Now back to your question, is it looking at your lineups and optimizing for the most projection? Because I remember hearing somewhere. So your late swap should still be optimizing based on whatever metric you're ranking by. Right. So like if you're using the templates and you're using Portfolio pre-slate, well, you're still going to be using Portfolio in the post-slate. Right. The only difference is that we are locking in the players who have already started, grabbing new sims for the players and games that haven't started, and then filling in the best players based on the sim results into the eligible positions while using what is left of your salary cap, right? So no live projections on starter, but you can still absolutely take advantage of projection adjustments as noted in the Discord. All right, next question. I thought adjusted ownership was SaberSim projected ownership for a contest, and my ownership was SaberSim was what SaberSim used to build the pool. Am I wrong? Yes, this is not exactly what these things are. So my own is how many lineups we expect to have this player, right? So we expect 46% of lineups to have Pat Spencer. That is what my own is describing. Adjusted ownership is a in-house metric that we created. You can hover over it to see like a tooltip. It says ownership rating adjusted for average ownership at the player's position and their projection variance. So basically what adjusted ownership is doing, it's looking at the player's ownership and then it's looking at their range of outcomes. And it's saying, how good of a play do we think this player is? When your adjusted ownership is higher than your my own, that would mean that we think that play is a little risky. We think this player's ownership is a little too high. When adjusted ownership is lower than my own, we think this player is actually a really good play and that you should feel comfortable playing them. So Spencer, we think is a great play because we think he is way too low salary. He's going to get a lot of minutes and has a decent fantasy point per minute. So adjusted ownership is like, we're looking at the ownership, we're looking at the range of outcomes, and we're saying, should they be owned at this value? And we seem to think that even at 46%, Spencer is kind of a discount and that you should feel really comfortable playing him. So that's what adjusted ownership is describing. All right. Mike said, thank you. You're welcome. Looking around here, I think we're all caught up with questions. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.